A recent study found that the number of ransomware attacks on hospital systems doubled between 2016 and 2021, and experts anticipate that the number of attacks will continue to grow, which impacts not only patients, but hospital systems' finances. It's Monday, January 9th. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson, and this is GIST Healthcare Daily.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In 2022, Common Spirit, the second largest hospital chain in the United States, was the target of a ransomware attack that hobbled operations at many of its 140 hospitals and exposed the private health information of more than 600,000 patients. The system is now facing the potential of a class action lawsuit following the breach. The attack on Common Spirit was the largest ransomware attack in 2022, but it was hardly an isolated incident. One analysis found that up to 290 hospitals in the U.S. were impacted by a ransomware attack last year. And a new study published in JAMA found that between January 2016 and December 2021, 374 ransomware attacks on U.S. healthcare organizations exposed the private health information of nearly 42 million patients. So what can hospital systems do to better protect themselves and their patients? I'm Jay Carlisle Larson, and this is GIST Healthcare Daily. On today's episode, I'm joined by Steve Cagle, the CEO of Clearwater, a firm that provides cybersecurity, compliance, and privacy solutions focused on the healthcare industry. He told me why hospitals in particular are attractive to these criminals.
Healthcare data is the most valuable private information out there, protected information out there that you can get your hands on. Why is that? You can use it for a number of criminal-related activities, such as insurance fraud, identity theft. You can potentially use it to obtain prescription medication, which can be sold illegally, of course. So the healthcare data is very rich and provides a really good source for these cyber criminals to sell that information on the black market or to use it themselves for criminal activities. In addition to that, ransomware, of course, puts an organization in a very significant situation where they are not able to operate under normal circumstances. And when you're in a healthcare setting and you're trying to deliver care to patients, that's a real patient safety risk. And if you're thinking about providing care to patients, it's not going to be the same level of quality that you would have when you have all of your systems available. So they know they can hold up these organizations and extract, you know, both the data as well as put them in a position where they want to pay the ransom.
So we know that patient data is particularly lucrative for these criminals, but why are hospitals so vulnerable to these kinds of attacks?
Healthcare has, unfortunately, historically not invested enough in cybersecurity. And, you know, there's a lot of good work that's going on now to try to improve the maturity overall. Some organizations are better than others, but overall as an industry, it still has a long way to go. And when you couple that with a very rapid deployment of new technology through the COVID pandemic era, a lot of M&A, a lot of acquisitions that have happened, a lot of legacy systems that have not been updated and they can't afford to replace, it just, you know, really creates an easier target to go after.
So looking at ransomware attacks as an example, these attacks can profoundly disrupt how hospitals operate. In a moment, I want to address the costs to patients, but first I want to talk about the financial cost to hospitals when these attacks happen. What do we know? How does this affect a health system's bottom line?
Yeah, I mean, I think first, you know, there is much more awareness today than there was, let's say, you know, 3 years ago, and more attention being paid by executives because they do understand the cost, and it is a patient safety issue. We can come back on that and talk about the financial cost first here for a moment, but there's been a lot of different research that's been done. The Potemkin Institute comes out with a report every year, cost of a breach. And if you go back a few years in that report to 2020, the average cost of a breach in healthcare was $7 million. Today, or at least not today, but the last report they came out with, it was $10 million. So, you know, very significant increase. The cost of a breach is becoming more and more expensive for a number of reasons. One reason is they're typically larger because, again, we have more data. The breach is largely going to be bigger. Also, we're more reliant upon these systems and technologies now more than ever to actually operate. So if our systems go down and we have to turn our business away to competition, and there's been, you know, numerous, without naming names, there's been numerous ransomware attacks where some of those organizations have, you know, they publicly disclose their financials, and you can see in their notes and in their financials, the quarter had the ransomware attack, they've lost revenue. Insurance is not enough to cover, usually, depending on the size of the breach. It could be, but in some cases, it has not been enough to cover all those losses. And insurance is becoming much, much more expensive. It's almost than healthcare in the last 2 years. Insurance providers are being much more prescriptive in what they expect, and they'll accept in terms of for you to get an insurance policy. And, you know, there's all kinds of carve-outs and exclusions. So it can be an extremely expensive incident to have a breach itself, or a ransomware attack could be even worse, especially if it, you know, again, also results in a breach on top of it.
And what does this mean for patients?
Yeah, well, you know, I think if we go back to the mission that we have in healthcare and for any organization that's supporting healthcare, the mission is first and foremost to provide safe, effective care for our patients. We also want them to have a great experience. We want them to have that experience within our organization every time they come in consistently. So when we have a breach, let's not even say it's a ransomware attack, it's a breach. I mean, that patient can be harmed from the breach if their information is disclosed. You know, they can have their identity stolen. They can have information that might be embarrassing to them or could affect their work, all kinds of things that are really sensitive to them can be very, very harmful. If you think about security, privacy, security, we think about confidentiality, integrity, and availability, those three things. So that's confidentiality. There's integrity. If the information is altered in any way, or, you know, is somehow presented in a way that's not accurate, that can have an effect on the patient. Think about allergies or medications that a patient might have. And then there's availability. And ransomware, of course, is a really classic example of lack of availability. There's been numerous examples where ambulances had to be diverted from emergency rooms. How much time does it take now for that ambulance to get to the next hospital? And is there an impact on that patient? Patients that are receiving ongoing treatments that had to be canceled. Patients that were not able to get their test results or get tests and therefore delayed a diagnosis as an impact on the patient. And then there was another Potemkin study that came out in September that surveyed about 600 plus medical or healthcare providers. And they asked about ransomware attacks, and 89% of those organizations had been attacked. And of the ones where there was a successful ransomware attack, 24% said that they saw an increase in mortality rates following the attack. And so there's clearly now, and I think we're going to see more of that coming out where there's real data. It's definitely getting attention, you know, which is important. Senator Warner, who's been very active in trying to, I think, identify some of the challenges, reasons for the challenges we have in healthcare cybersecurity. He did come out with a state of policy paper in November, and that policy paper is titled "Healthcare Cybersecurity is Patient Safety." It talks a lot about There's a lot of information in there, you know, that they've compiled. But, you know, that this is a real challenge for us as a nation. It's important for our critical infrastructure. It's important for our national security to have a well-functioning, very resilient healthcare system that, you know, we know that when we go to the doctor or go to a hospital or whatever the case may be, that we can expect to get that consistent care.
There are so many players in the healthcare industry. It's not simply a hospital, physicians and administrators. There are vendors, there are apps, there is other technology in the mix. So where are cyber criminals finding their way into these systems? What are their inroads?
Yeah. So to your point, healthcare has become increasingly more complex in a number of ways. First, again, we've had, in addition to all the merger and acquisitions, we've had just an explosion in new technology, and that technology was adopted very rapidly. But healthcare is changing, as you know, and the good news is we're using this technology to make a lot of improvements in healthcare, right, to support value-based care or to have better understanding of patient populations and to reduce costs. And there's a lot of really good benefits, getting treatment through virtual visits and following up with compliance with medicines, all kinds of great things. But what's happened is now this technology is creating a lot of information. That information is being shared with a lot of different third parties, and you have a much larger ecosystem of information going back and forth. So how are they actually targeting that information? Well, some of those larger, more mature organizations have gotten better at creating security, evaluating risk within their own organization, but you do have a lot of third-party risk as well that, you know, occurs. So what organizations really need to do is they need to have a very good risk management program in place. And this is an area that some organizations often don't spend enough time and enough effort in, and take the time to really inventory all of the information systems that you have electronic protected health information or that are important for the clinical process or the processes that support the organization, but also looking at where that data is going, if it's going outside the organization, you have people working remotely, those types of components, let's call them, to your information systems need to be evaluated as part of your risk analysis. Your vendors, your third parties, your supply chain, your partners that you work with, if you have affiliates or if you have other organizations that you're partnered with that are providing, ambulatory care or follow-up, these are all parts of your system. So the way we should be doing that is through doing a risk analysis on an ongoing basis, because your environment's changing very rapidly these days.
So how can CEOs in particular play more of a role in helping hospital systems be better situated to mitigate these cyber attacks?
From an executive's perspective, right, from that high-level perspective, how do you really go ahead and do that? It starts with a conversation with other executives, and typically what we see as a best practice is you have a governance council or a committee or whatever you want to call it, but a body within the organization that has a specific charter and mandate to manage risk, and specifically in this case, cybersecurity risk. That's not a IT committee. It's not a subset, potentially. It could be, part of what an audit and compliance committee does, but it has to involve different business executives. You have to get the buy-in in the organization. And at some point, you have to make the call as to what level of risk we're willing to take. You have to give guidance to the people that are in the operating part of the business and how they're going to make decisions, because, you need to support them. You can't make all those decisions as to what tools we put in place and what do we do, but how do we go about managing risk? Where do we draw the line? Do we have that program in place where we're on an ongoing basis, we are evaluating all the different information systems? That means if we bring in a new technology, we're going to do as an executive, we're going to make a decision to acquire a new business or sign a new partnership agreement. Have we set the process in place that we have to do some sort of diligence? We have to do that risk assessment before we put that into place. From a governance perspective, are we getting information from our security team, our information technology team, about the risks in our organization and engaging in a conversation about what we're doing about them? So a lot of it just has to do with being engaged And then I think from a leadership perspective, any leader in an organization has an opportunity to influence what the rest of that organization does, right? That's, you know, as a CEO, that's CEO 101. You have to set that message. You have to lead by example. And the person who has the most power in any organization to influence behavior and security is going to be the CEO of that organization. And we've seen that with hospitals and health systems where the president or the CEO says something on a meeting that, you know, is supportive of the security department and is out there really making sure people understand this is a risk to our business. You know, if you get duped by an email that comes through and you give your credentials and that person starts moving laterally, that's a huge risk to everything you're doing from a mission perspective. So, you know, people will listen, and I think they'll be more aware, they'll be more engaged. So, you know, leadership has to be engaged. They have to support the organization, and then certainly lead by example.
That was Steve Cagle, CEO of Clearwater, a firm which provides cybersecurity, compliance, and privacy solutions for the healthcare industry. He joined me to talk about how hospital systems can better protect themselves from cyber attacks.
This has been Just Healthcare Daily. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, please leave us a rating or a review. It helps other listeners find the show. We'll be back with healthcare business and policy news updates tomorrow, as always, in 10 minutes or less. In the meantime, you can check out more insights on healthcare business and policy news at justhealthcare.com. You can also get these insights emailed directly to your inbox when you subscribe to our newsletter, The Weekly Gist. The Gist Healthcare Daily Podcast is an independent production of Gist Healthcare.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.